Welcome to Civil Defense Radio with your host, Preston Schlankhofer, where we talk about all things civil defense. Civil defense is about building community resiliency by becoming better informed, prepared, and organized to meet whatever disaster might affect you, your neighborhood, and your community. There are many threats on the horizon, yet we cannot rely on true and accurate media coverage of many of these issues. These threats are propagated from the mainstream media seeking to tell only one side of the story. In fact, this propagation can even be considered biased propaganda. This is a legitimate threat to you, your family, and our nation, and here on Civil Defense Radio, we seek the facts that others leave out. Remember, your tomorrow may depend on today's preparedness. Now, here is your host, Preston Schlankhofer.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Civil Defense Radio. I am your host, Preston Schlankhofer, coming to you from the Strategic Command and Control Center, deep within the Civil Defense Radio Bunker Complex. It is a pleasure to be with you this week, and I hope you will enjoy our discussion topic in this episode. Our guest this episode is a friend of the show who visited us way back in episode 17, when we discussed his book, Be Thou Prepared. That book is a great read and one that helps people understand why preparedness is also a biblical concept. 2020 was a very tumultuous year. The chaos and violence running up to the election, the obvious corruption and theft of the election in many cities and states across America, corruption that has caused many to finally see what is happening in our nation. We see the silencing of opposing voices and speech that is deemed by big tech and media as hate speech and racists. We see the demonization of half the country by the same people on the left side of the political divide. But the radical, violent, and truly racist actors are being praised, promoted, and emboldened to continue their radical and perverse agenda against Americans and our freedoms. Our military and law enforcement are also in the crosshairs of this Stalinist-style purge of alternative thoughts. The totalitarians are on the rise, and this will cause major turmoil in our nation soon as they continue to solidify power and control over the people they wish to enslave in their utopian hell. Was this era foretold in biblical writings, prophecies, and what does it mean for the future of the world? Our guest has a new book out titled The Summoning, where he addresses many of these issues, and we will get a glimpse into what that book says today. Pastor Carl Gallops is the senior pastor of a Florida church, an author of many great books, a lecturer, and a former policeman and detective. It is my pleasure to welcome back to Civil Defense Radio, Pastor Carl Gallops. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Preston. It's always good to be with you. And then, from episode 17 to episode 100, and here I am again. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you agreed to do this episode. This is going to be a crowning achievement for our show, and it's something that I want to dedicate to. One of the things that I believe strongly in is my faith in Christ Jesus and the prophecy that is, I believe, foretelling many of the things that are going on in our world today. And that's one of the things I want people to be aware of and to prepare for, because there's being prepared, but then there's also being prepared spiritually.
Yeah.
And that is just as important, if not more so, because eternity is a long time.
Yeah. No, listen, Preston, you're absolutely right. And the way I explain to God's people what you just said is this. First of all, I want your audience to know, those that may not have ever heard of me, and I'm not so vain to think everybody that's listening would know me, but I've been around a lot on Christian TV and radio and several best-selling books that are out there, and so a lot of folks do know me, so I want to make sure your audience knows this. Look, I haven't always been a pastor, but I have been a pastor in one church for almost 35 years now. Prior to that, I spent 10 years, almost 11 years in Florida law enforcement with two different sheriff's offices under three different sheriffs, and one of those did criminal investigations. So I've got a lot of life experience, researching experience, putting together criminal cases experience, digging, gathering evidence experience, and theological degrees and education helping me to do this and showing me how, and I've been doing it for years. Now, that doesn't mean that everything I say or believe is 1,000% accurate, but it does mean the things that I share with people on interviews like this, I'm not pulling this stuff out of my back pocket. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't set dates. I don't, purposely try to be overly sensational. I use the word overly because, look, we're living in sensational times. The Bible is a sensational book, and it makes sensational claims that for thousands of years seem to be science fiction, but yet we're now living in the midst of every one of them, every one of them. And we're the first generation to be living in the midst of those seemingly science fiction prophetic utterances in the Word of God. And by the way, only the Bible dared to say such things. The Bible. The Quran has nothing like the Bible has. The Hindu Vedas, the teachings of Buddha. I could go down the list of all the religions of the world, and I'm not disparaging any of those faith systems and the people who want to believe them. I'm just saying that the Word of God is alive, just like it says it is. And things that were foretold in there, the coming of a Messiah, where he'd be born, how it would all happen, what he would do, the miracles he would do, that he would deliver himself to a cross, that he would raise his own life from the dead 3 days later. Those were foretold over 1,000 years before any of them happened, and they happened. And not only did they happen, but it changed the calendars of the world. Every time an atheist signs his check 2021, he's attesting to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, this is amazing. Only in the Bible did it actually prophesy the return of a dead, gone, and scattered Israel. 2,800 years after those prophecies were given, it happened. And we are the first and only historical generation to be living in the midst of a returned Israel. They've only been there 73 years. And just a few weeks from now, they'll celebrate their 73rd anniversary. And the Bible says, God says over and over, and I've got all these things documented in my books. I'm going to say that now because I don't want to have to say this 100 times. I'm not pulling this out of my back pocket. Everything I'm telling you is documented from mainstream sources. But the bottom line is this. All through the Bible, Old and New Testament, even out of the mouth of Jesus, I'm going to paraphrase, but here's the message. The generation that sees the return of Israel will be the last generation before the return of the Lord. Amen. I mean, over and over and over. Old Testament, God says, and when I bring them back, I will do this to show the nations that I am God, and beside me there is no other. The Bible also says that when that Israel returns, Ezekiel 37 prophesies the return of that Israel in the last days. Ezekiel 38 says, and when it happens, the nations will be so enraged, they will constantly form up coalitions until they finally get one that coalesces into a coalition that will come against and attack Israel. Ezekiel says that. Joel says that. Zechariah says that. The New Testament says that. Jesus says that they would come against. When you see the armies of the world surrounding Jerusalem, then you will know the time is near. I mean, it's all right there. And it's all happening now and only in our lifetime. So I tell people like this. We are now living in the most prophetic times since the first coming of Jesus Christ. And it would be wise for the church to wake up to this fact. You don't have to panic. You don't have to go crazy. You don't have to dig a hole and live underground. In fact, we've been called to be the light and the salt right up to the last moment, right to the last trumpet blows. But we've got to understand the times we're living in.
Yes, we do. We cannot sit there with our head down and, covering our eyes and our ears because we don't want to admit that this world is spinning out of control. Actually, it's not spinning out of control. It's actually spinning into place because this is what's supposed to be happening. Just that we don't want to see it go this way during our lifetime. But, in a way, it's a blessing that it is happening in our lifetime because this is something that people and nations have looked for generations, and it is happening right before our eyes right now.
Yeah. You know, a lot of Christians, I grew up in various churches and listening to preachers, and I hear people in the pew say, oh, I wished I lived in the times of Jesus. We're really under the Roman Empire and throwing Christians to the lions. I mean, people have it so romanticized, you know, life is life ever since the flood, ever since the Garden of Eden, then the flood. I mean, the world has been filled with demonic outpouring, but the scriptures say that the very last days, they would be a global outpouring of this spirit, and we're witnessing that. So what I've been telling God's people is, look, you can romanticize about living in the times of Jesus, okay, cool, but you're doing it now. You're living in the times of the church, the gospel, the soon coming of the Lord, the outpouring of the demonic spirits, the building of the Antichrist coalition and kingdom. You can see it. I mean, it's right before our eyes, and we're getting close. And so I tell Christians, look, we are the Esthers of our world. We've been raised up for such a time as this. We're the Noahs. Mm-hmm. We are the Lots of our day. Lot lived right in the middle of Sodom and Gomorrah, yet he was used as a great witness unto the Lord until the angels came and took him out. Noah lived right in the middle of the worst times the planet has ever seen up until this day. That's what Jesus said, and that's what the Bible says. And yet he was there, living in the midst of it, building an aircraft carrier-sized ship in his backyard as a witness to the world, and then the Lord took him and his family out. So that's who we are. We're the witnesses. We're the ones building the aircraft carrier-sized ship. It's called the church. It's called the gospel. It's called the kingdom work. And that's what we're here for. You're right.
To go along with what you were saying earlier, I want to go back to our last conversation. And towards the end, we were talking about a book that you had written and one that I had on my shelf, but I hadn't read yet. And since then, I had read it, and I've been promoting this all over the place. Matter of fact, some of my listeners may recognize this, but we were talking about The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and the Identity of Messiah, and the message that Rabbi Kadyrie left the people of Israel. So can we get a little bit of that? Because I think that'll tie into everything we're talking about as well.
Well, yeah, I truly believe that also is a sign of the times we're living in. Listen, that's a long, complex story. I'm going to make it super simple. So for your audience that knows more about it than I'm getting ready to share, or that have read the book, they're going to think, boy, that was a simple explanation. It's way more complex than that. But the bottom line is this. Rabbi Itzhak Kadyrie, the most venerated rabbi in Israel's history, I mean, since Israel crossed over the Jordan River, this guy was the Pope of Israel, if you will, if you let me use a Christian term in a Jewish world. And I mean revered. When he died back in 2006, there were over 250,000 people that showed up for his funeral. They had to close the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days. They had cops and military there. Ben-Gurion Airport was jam-packed with airplanes coming in for the funeral. His influence was so huge, especially in Israel and in Europe, but even around the world, and especially among the Jewish community. Most Westernized Christians, for example, knew very little about him because he was so Jewish, so Orthodox, so revered among the Jews. He kind of was off of our radar until he did this. Bottom line is, and it's a long, complex story, but the bottom line is, just before he died, he told his synagogue congregation that he had met Messiah. Now, you got to remember, this is the guy who had 250,000 people at his funeral. The president of Israel read the eulogy. The streets of Jerusalem shut down 3 or 4 days. So this guy was the Billy Graham or the Pope, if you will.
Yeah.
And so when he said, I have met Messiah in a vision, I know who he is and I know his name. People listen, the major media carried that story. They have since scrubbed it because Israel is filled with fake news, just like we are. The whole world's filled with it now.
Yep.
Well, it's a demonic spirit, brother. I mean, we're in the last days.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I've got it all documented, got all of the links to the original articles. Some of them are scrubbed, but, you know, the evidence is still there on the Wayback Machine, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the deal.
Right.
He said, I know his name, and I'm going to leave it in a note to be opened only 1 year after I'm dead. Now, there's a reason. That's an old Orthodox tradition, and all that's explained in the book as well. But the bottom line is, within months of him speaking that, he died. I mean, but he was 108 years old. I mean, he lived to be 108 and still sharp as a tack right up to the last days. He died of pneumonia. I mean, he got pneumonia and he just couldn't overcome it. It wasn't like he had some mentally wasting disease or he just wasted away. He didn't. It was a sudden thing. But anyway, the bottom line is, the note was finally, he said, I want it posted on my website. And he had a huge website, again, like the Billy Graham organization or like the Roman Catholic Church. He had this huge website. He still does. His organization still runs it. They hate this story. They hate me for writing the book. I've written the only two books in the on the planet about this story. I've been all over media, secular media, Christian media, worldwide media. And it has connected me to Messianic Rabbi Zev Peratt. He's in this book. He and I have been ministering this for years. Muslim imams have come to the Lord because of this story. Jewish rabbis, prominent Jewish rabbis in Israel, have come to the Lord. This is documented. It's on video. It's in stories. It's in photographs. I know some of your audience is saying, how come we haven't heard about this? Well, I'd ask yourself, why do we not hear about a lot of stuff that goes on in our own nation? Our media just refuses to report it. And so,
you know, I've got a saying that goes, if the media doesn't report it, did it really happen?
It really happened. Yeah, that's right. And another saying you say, if the media doesn't report it, then it really did happen.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so his note was finally opened a year later. It was put on his website. It was written in a cryptic format, which was his style. He would write in little riddles and things. But some of his followers, he taught in a yeshiva, which is like a seminary. He owned it, and he was the headmaster of it. But there were a certain little group of students that he trusted that he was revealing this too, who the Messiah was and what the name was, and they were not to speak of it till it was done. Well, when the note came out and it was in cryptic format, it was posted on the front page of his website. People couldn't figure it out because it didn't leave the name like he promised. It was just this cryptic note. It said, concerning the letter abbreviation of his name, comma, he will lead his people and prove that the word is the truth, and he will lift his people up. Well, here's the deal. He left the key. He said, concerning the letter abbreviation of his name. Well, his own students knew what he had done. I guess he had told them. And they, after it was up there for about 3 or 4 months, and his organization left it. They were so proud that here was this little cryptic note, you know, until it was discovered what his note said. They took the first letter of each of those Hebrew words in that last part of that sentence, and there were six letters, and it spelled Yehoshua, which is the ancient form of Yeshua. And I've got all of that proven, language experts, Jewish. I mean, Zev Peratt speaks Hebrew as his first language. But I've got language experts from around the world that testify, Yehoshua. It's the ancient name for Yeshua. And of course, Kaduri's 108 years old. He still used the old Hebrew, you know. And so he left it so that it spelled, here's the name of the real Messiah, Jesus. And so it just turned everything into a tailspin. Literally, it was as serious as this. They were afraid the whole economy of Israel was going to crash. They literally, because the whole thing is built around, you know, the Jewish Orthodox faith, and they're still looking for Messiah, and they're still talking about the Temple Mount, and they're still talking about maybe a new temple, and there's still, you know, everything is built around tourism, and you know, for their Billy Graham. That would be like if our Billy Graham died and left a note and said, look, the real Messiah is Muhammad. I mean, because
that wouldn't happen.
Well, that's what they said about Kaduri. They said that couldn't have happened. That couldn't have happened. That would never happen. He's the Pope. He's the Billy Graham. He would never say that. But that's what happened. And so, you know, he nailed it, and he had been teaching his a select group of his students, and they are all now born-again believers in Christ, and they're telling the Jewish people, and they're being persecuted. And I mean, it's just an amazing story. That's the quick story, believe it or not. I could talk about it for hours, and it's much more complex than that.
Well, and I do recommend this book. Mine is highlighted and marked up all over the place. There's some neat stuff in here. The old ancient
Hebrew
writing style, Hebrew, and the new modern style. There's just so many things in here. It's a great book.
Thank you.
But can we just draw a picture of some of the coming attractions, you might say, of what prophecy reveals is indicative of the end times, and why we should be not only prepared in our homes, but also be prepared in our hearts and soul for eternity?
Yes, absolutely. My last two books, they've both been released in the last in 11 months of each other, and that was due to some paper shortages because of COVID and the and things like that. They were supposed to have been released earlier, but oh my gosh, they've proven to be so prophetic because they were released right in the middle of the times that I had predicted would come. I actually did in those books, thinking it would be years from now, not knowing it would be months from now. And so when they were released right in the middle of it. Masquerade, picture of a man with a mask on his face. The title is, the subtitle is The Greatest Con Job in History. Well, I was talking about the masquerading kingdom of the Antichrist that is to come. But in that book, I talked about the worldwide closure of churches. I wrote it in the beginning of 2019. It was supposed to release in the last of 2019. It wasn't released until April 2020 when the world decided to close all the churches. And it was already in my book, and a picture of a man with a mask on his face on the front cover. Brother, people went berserk over that. They said, how did you know? I said, I didn't, but the Word of God does. It says it, yeah. And I document it. I just didn't know it was going to happen in a few months. Same thing with my latest book, The Summoning. I talk about turning the corner to 2020. And all of the prophetic things bursting forth on the scene coming out of a COVID virus. I'm not saying the COVID virus itself. It's an upper respiratory virus, and it's on steroids. Mm-hmm. It's dangerous to certain demographics, but it's not the bubonic plague. It was the demonic spirit behind it of false information, right, and this fear that's sweeping the planet. The National Institute of Health, Preston, has just released studies saying that the fear of death is now a global epidemic. It's causing mental illness, suicides to go through the roof, drug addiction. I mean, it's crazy. And all of it started when we rounded the corner 2020, which started the attack against churches, pastors, Christians, threats, can't sing, can't go to church, can't have your full congregation, got to mask up, got to social distance. Nations of the world, Canada, just today, they fenced up a church, the pastor's in prison because they've locked their churches down. Germany's done the same thing, a lot of nations, and even in the United States. So with that comes a flood of prophecies. Brothers and sisters will turn against each other and report each other to the authorities. We never closed our church. We had people from our church that got mad and left and started calling the law on us, brother.
No.
Oh, yeah. I mean, prophecy just jumping off the pages, and this is happening all over the world. And yeah. And so anyway, those are just, we've only got a few minutes. Those are some of the things, but The Summoning catalogs all of this, shows you what's happening, shows you where we're going. And I reproduce sections of the book, Be Thou Prepared, in the very end of it. I've got an addendum to help Christians answer the tough questions about, well, should we even be preppers? And, you know, what about faith? And what about Jesus saying, take no thought about tomorrow, what we'll eat or drink or wear? What if, and I answer all of those questions and then show people how to biblically prepare. And that's in the addendum. But the front part of it, it just takes you on this deep biblical journey, puts you right in the scriptures, third person, and much of it. And you hear what Jesus said about the last days will be just like the days of Noah. And I explain exactly what that means right from the scriptures and right from the headlines of our news.
Can you give us a little bit more on the synopsis of the days of Noah?
Yeah. How long do I have?
Almost 5 minutes.
Okay, you want me to do a seminary education in 5 minutes? All right, here we go. Well, no. Let me just jump on it. I can do a 5-minute synopsis, and thank you. You're so gracious, Preston. Listen, Jesus said in Luke 17, and he said in Matthew 24. Those are two different passages in two different books, but they take place, the conversations take place at two different times. In Luke 17, he's down on the Jordan River Valley Road coming from Galilee, and he's headed up to Jerusalem, where he will present himself to the cross. But that journey will take several months. And I put you right there on the road in the third person. You're right there listening to Jesus talk and talking to his disciples and the Pharisees. But in Luke 17, he tells a group of Pharisees that come out of one of the villages, and they're demanding that he give them the signs of the coming of the Messiah. Of course, they're not receiving him as Messiah, but they're hearing him as a preacher, and they're saying, we hear you talk about the end times. What are the signs going to be? And he definitively says, distinctly says, it will be just like it was in the days of Noah. And then he says, and it will be just like it was in the days of Lot. So he uses the flood and Sodom and Gomorrah and the times and the attitudes and the actual events that took place. And he says, it will be just like. Now, listen to this, Preston. Not kind of like, not sort of like, not an example of, not a parable of. He said, it will be just like this. Then, a few months later, he's on the side of the Mount of Olives. We call it the Olivet Discourse. He'll present himself to the cross within 2 days. And the disciples ask him the same question again. Well, tell us. We know it's you, so tell us what will be the signs of the God. So he goes through all these things, wars, rumors of wars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But he ends it by saying, and don't forget, it will be just like the days of Noah. And then he goes into a description. Well, here's what I do in the book. I give the obvious signs of the days of Noah, people eating, drinking, giving in marriage, buying and selling, etc. And that there's nothing wrong with any of that. And Jesus didn't say there was. He was just pointing out that people won't even know what's happening around them. Noah had a ship in his backyard, and the people rejected it. They called him a prepper and a conspiracy theorist. But they all died, and Noah lived. And so that's what Jesus was saying when he said they'd be given in, you know, eating and drinking and given in marriage. Nothing wrong with eating and drinking or being married. It's just he was saying they were going on with the routine stuff of the world, never looking at the spiritual things that were happening all around them. But what I do is I take the reader all the way back to Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, and then all through the scriptures. Noah is spoken of in several places in the Old Testament later. He's spoken of throughout the New Testament. And it's uncanny. I mean, not only in the Gospels, but he's spoken up of in the book of Hebrews. He's spoken of in the book of the writings of Peter. And so you collect all that together and you find out exactly what was happening in the days of Noah. And you look at our world and it hits you like a brick on your nose.
Wow.
It's like we are there. It is happening now, and nobody before us has it ever happened to. So it's a real wake-up call for the church and for Christians, and it's just very balanced, very contextual, right out of the scriptures, right out of our world, and it's an easy and fun read. People that have read it, I mean, it's going crazy all over the world, and people that have read it have said that it has really opened their eyes, and I pray so. All praise to the Lord. Thanks, Preston.
Yeah. Well, I can attest to your writing style. I've read two of your books so far, and, you know, your books read like you talk. So they're easy to read. Some places they're funny. And so, you know, it's information packed. You know, the first one I read was Be Thou Prepared, and I love that book. I promote it as often as I can. Matter of fact, I even re-released the show that we did about 2 weeks ago, and maybe a little bit longer, but just so people had an opportunity to digest that again.
Yeah.
And it's a really good book, and it's so informative.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And that's why I reproduced sections of it in the summoning, in the end, in an addendum section. All of my chapters in my later books, like the Summoning and Masquerade and some of those, the God series, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, all of those, I've shortened my chapters, are like 5 pages each. So it's even a quicker read, easier read.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I've got 10 chapters on Be Thou Prepared in this addendum, but they're like 5 pages each. So there's another 50
uh-huh.
pages. After you've read the book, The Summoning, in that same book, you can get the heart and soul and meat of Be Thou Prepared as well. It's like two books in one.
Yeah, well, that's a good idea, because people really need to be prepared for stuff, because this COVID, if you want to, you know, believe the media, it hit a lot of people unprepared, you know, and we had toilet paper shortages and things like that, you know, which was kind of crazy in itself. But this whole environment is rushing the world and the people into a one world globalist government that's based on socialism, but not the European style socialism. It's communist socialism. And it is going to come to a head, and there's going to be a lot of problems in this nation. This fake president that we got right now, he's a puppet. He's being controlled by the cabal that's in charge.
Yeah, and by the globalists.
And
the global elite.
Yep. So yeah. he doesn't even know where he's at most of the time, but he's following the script, and yeah. He'll be there for maybe a couple months, and then they'll get rid of him and make the VP another acting president. But Pastor, it was a pleasure having you, and I really appreciate you coming back on the show. And it's just heartwarming when we get a chance to talk. Matter of fact, I should call you more often just to talk so I can find out more about what's going on. But I'm going to be putting links to your book books in the show notes. So anybody that wants to listen or read his books, they can hit the link. It'll be an Amazon link, and or maybe you have some on your website, right? Ways of finding your books?
Yeah, you can find out everything about me, including all of my books, and you can purchase them directly from me too if you'd like. I'll even sign them. Mm-hmm. Just my website is just myname.com, carlgallups.com, carlgallups, carlgallups.com. Everything is there.
Great. I'll make sure I put that in the show notes as well. Okay. So, civil defense equals resiliency equals survival. The top-down governmental approach to solve our community resiliency problem has failed us. We need a community-based, grassroots approach to solve this problem. To be resilient, it takes preparation, organization, and training to meet the needs of whatever situation we may find ourselves in. Civil defense helps reduce panic in a disaster, and this is why we strongly recommend establishing a community-based, grassroots civil defense organization in your city or county in partnership with your local emergency manager and community leaders. Let's start a conversation with the guide found on our resources page at civildefenseradio.com. Be sure to check out our postings at Facebook and Telegram. Telegram, it's the Civil Defense Radio channel, and Facebook, it's Civil Defense Radio, on MeWe at Civil Defense Radio, and YouTube at Civil Defense Radio channel. Most of the items we post are important information about the threats we see to our safety and security as a nation. Whenever I find something funny, I will post that also. So please remember this information and use it wisely. I wish to thank Pastor Carl Gallups again for being on the show, and I'd like to thank you, our American and international friends who listen to us on a regular basis. I really appreciate you being with us this week. So please be safe. Be informed, be prepared, and may God bless you and keep you until next time.